Hi, this is Dennis Dunaway of Alice Cooper. You're listening to Rock and Roll Archaeology.
Pantheon Podcasts presents from Hollywood, California, The Devil's Music with Pleasant Gaiman. You are invited to join the Hollywood princess as she explores her lifelong pursuits in the occult, sex, love, and that sinful rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, step into the dark parlor of Pleasant Gaiman as she brings you The Devil's Music.
Hi, this is Pleasant Gaiman of The Devil's Music Podcast. I'm a rock and roll witch, a lifelong punk rock maniac. I'm a multi-genre artist, a best-selling author, a writer, a performer. Some of you may already know me. Some of you may not know me. Others of you might even know me in the biblical sense. There could be a chance of that. Anyway, I've always been interested in the outre, the crazy, the out of the box, the wildest things imaginable from any century and any decade. I was lucky enough to have been a member or one of the proponents of the Los Angeles punk rock scene in the early 70s. I had a fanzine called Lobotomy. In the 80s, I had several bands and booked a lot of very significant clubs in Los Angeles, punk rock legendary clubs like Raji's and Cathay de Grand. I've been putting on shows since 1978, and it's continued right on up here 40 decades later. I still do that. I'm a belly dancer. I'm a burlesque dancer. I'm a tarot reader. And if you listen to my podcast, you're going to see that I'm an absolute lunatic. Love ya and love doing this. I hope you're enjoying it. So just a little bit of info. You can find The Devil's Music and all the Pantheon shows on Spotify, radio.com, and Pandora. Actually, if you're into it, you can just go all OCD and look really hard. You'll find us on at least 40 different podcast networks. We're growing and growing. Everyone at Pantheon loves telling stories about the greatest moments of rock and roll in a variety of manners. You'll see what mine is like when you listen to it. There's something for everyone. So many shows, so many flavors, so little time to listen to all of them. Find it everything at pantheonpodcast.com. Today, I have the intense pleasure of interviewing Kristen Soleil. Like me, she's an amazing rock and roll witch. She's just a little bit more of a metalhead witch than I am. I'm a punk rock witch, and she's a metalhead witch. Kristen is amazing. She teaches at the New School in New York, and she's got two books out. The titles alone will drag you into her world. The first one, her first released book, is called Witches, Sluts, and Feminists. That was how I became familiar with her. And the more recent book is called Catcall, Exploring the Feral Feminine. And basically, it's a well-written, really clever, but really academic book all about pussy and the power of pussy. Anyway, I'm so delighted to have Kristen with me. She's incredible. Wait till you hear her stories. My guest for today is someone I admire and adore, witch, author, and academic, Kristin Soley. She's the author of Witches, Sluts, and Feminists, a really amazing book about witches, sluts, and feminists. And her most recent book is called Catcall, Reclaiming the Feral Feminine on Wiser Books. She's a kitty lover, a kitty litter, no, a kitty switch hitter. Anyway, we're here to talk to you about rock and roll, magic, and kitties today.
Fuck yes.
And a bunch of other stuff too, I'm sure.
Yes.
So let's just start off. Like, what came first for you, rock and roll or witchcraft?
Oh my God, I think you can't separate the two.
I know, I think the same thing too. But what about chronologically?
I feel like consciously rock and roll.
Yeah.
And then the energetic feeling, the vibes, the vibrations, like from rock and roll, I think that's when I discovered witchcraft, really.
Yeah, because I think rock and roll is a form of witchcraft.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, it bewitches you.
Yeah.
Just like Frank Sinatra said.
Yeah. No. 100%.
It seduces you.
100%.
It's sex magic.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no magic for me without rock and roll.
So what was like the first record you remember buying or your first favorite record?
Oh, that's really...
embarrassing? No.
Yes, it's going to be embarrassing.
Okay, good. I can't wait.
But I'm trying to think what... I mean, there were some like really early ones, but like I bought myself. I think it was like... Paula Abdul.
Oh.
What was her first?
Straight up not telling.
Yeah,
me
whatever you. Her first record was, that was,
oh,
I was
oh,
like,
oh.
Yeah.
That
was,
one?
Yes, that was it.
Oh, I got thrown out of a party for that record one time, but
really?
It was way after it came out, and it was in the middle of an ecstasy binge.
That but, sounds so, amazing. So, but I had so many hand-me-down records from my brothers who are 20 years older than me, which is why most of the music I like is not of my whatever
they were like
generation.
70s-ish?
Yeah, like in 80s. So, yeah, I had all their hand-me-down records. So, really, I had a little bit of pop foray, but then it was really the
it was all about
stuff.
Metal.
Yeah, and just like hard rock and, you know.
Yeah.
Everything, really. I don't discriminate. I love it all.
No, me too. I don't discriminate, too. And I find myself liking stuff that, like, when it first came out, I turned my nose up at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're like, wow, that's really a good song.
Totally. I feel that way now, when, especially since there's like no new rock and roll compared to what it used to be.
I'm glad you say that because you're so much younger than me. And I think that all the time. But then I think I'm just being a scary old lady.
I mean,
which I am anyway.
Yeah, which but, is awesome to be like, that's ultimate crone goals. Like,
I know. I was going to make t-shirts and say hashtag crone life.
Yeah.
For those of you out in podcast land, I just did the horns. I just threw the horns. Double handed.
Double fisting the horn. Yeah.
So Paula Abdul was your first
oh,
record?
Oh, God. Yeah, I guess so.
What? Wait, the one with the mouse? With the animated mouse?
Opposites
with the
attract?
Video?
It's
oh,
a
the
cat.
Opposites attract.
It's a cat.
It's a cat and a mouse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
She has a cat. She has a cat boyfriend. I literally write about that in my book. I finally, it's like full circle.
Oh,
it's
Christ. Like... I forgot that part. Wait, why did I say Christ? Oh, hell. I forgot that Okay, so what was your first concert? I need to know.
So, when I was really young, my dad took me to see John Lee Hooker because he's really into old
blues guys. Wow, that's cool.
Guys. Yeah.
How old were you?
Like 8. But my first like concert to me was Kiss in 7th grade.
Oh, and more devil horns.
Pantera opened for Kiss, and everyone booed Pantera. Like, it was ridiculous, but it was an incredible show. I was around all these Hell's Angels. It was in...
When you were 8?
No, that was when I was like 13 or okay. 12, and my brother's wife took me, and I bought these like vintage pink velvet, like super tight pants. And I remember it was the first time men were like screaming about my ass. And like, at first it was like sort of uncomfortable, I guess. But then I was like, all right, this is fine. You know, this is life.
Tender memories of young maidenhood.
Thank you, Kiss. Thank you, Paul Stanley, who I love.
I love Paul Stanley too. I love all of Kiss. I have some crazy Kiss stories.
Oh,
my first concert story is really horrifying too.
Really?
Horrifying with the W and WH instead of...
It has to be.
Instead of just H. Okay, so my first concert was It was Alice Cooper with ZZ Top opening for them. And this was at the New Haven Coliseum on the Billion Dollar Babies tour.
Oh, my God.
And I remember I was really disgusted when I saw ZZ Top because I was all into, like, glitter rock and horror Alice Cooper stuff. And I thought they were just a bunch of stupid cowboys. And for the past, like, 45 or more years, I've been just kicking myself going, what was I thinking? Oh, my God. But so me and my friend Joan told each other's moms we were staying over at the other one's house, you
of course.
Know, so there was nothing to worry about on that front. And then we shoplifted everything that we were going to wear to the concert that night. And luckily it was all small, so it was easy. Like, albums were a bitch to shoplift, but I was really good at that. But the so we got black satin hot pants. We got these little, like, silver Lurex tube tops that came down in a V with, like, this sort of sweetheart 40s, like, halter.
That's amazing.
Neckline. And then we went into Baker and Leeds shoes. Sorry, but I think this is beyond the statute of limitations. We were wearing these big, giant elephant bell bottoms with our worst sneakers under it. And I had seen these, like, black round-toed boots in the window that laced all the way up above the knee. And real laces, not like the grommets like they do now. And so we just, like, kicked our sneakers, our gross, wet sneakers, under the chair and laced up the boots and pulled the bell bottoms down and walked out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then we went to the bus station and bought a locker for a quarter and changed in the ladies' room and then walked our 13- and 14-year-old asses up the street in the middle of November in, like, sort of sleety Connecticut weather and just wandered into the concert like a couple of, like...
Baby sluts?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's what it was. Baby slut, do-do-do-do-do. Baby slut, do-do-do-do-do.
If I had a kid, that's what I would play for them.
Baby slut? I know you would. Okay, so, but you don't have kids, you have cats.
I do.
How many cats do you have?
Only one right now.
Really?
Yeah. She's just my, like, little only child.
What's her name?
Her name is Cherie Purry, named after...
Cherie Curry.
Yeah.
You're so sick. You're not going to get Cat Jet?
That's pretty great. But she's white. So
it's totally, yeah, she's bleached blonde.
Yeah, she's a bleached
blonde.
She's
a lead singer.
Yeah, and the first time I got her home and I was, like, actually watching some Runaways videos on my computer and she, like, got on the laptop and just, like, sat and was just, like, looking at the screen at Cherie Curry. So
Purry Curry.
Oh, my it's God. Perfect.
And then how did you think of... how did you come up with Cat Call, your book Cat Call, Reclaiming the Feral Feminine? Because that's like, it's such an obvious theme, but it's not obvious. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyone that's into, like, witchcraft and, like, just being a girl has grown up with, like, pussy associations and cat familiars and...
Absolutely. I think a lot of my work is, like, things that are obvious, but... no one has necessarily strung them together in quite that way.
Yeah.
And so my first book is Witches, Sluts, Feminists, and cats are such a big part of that story. You know, we associate cats with witches and cats with sluts and cats with feminists, but I didn't even mention cats in that book at all because I was waiting because I knew cats needed their own book. So it was really delving into cats and witchcraft and sexuality and why are those so intimately tied? And we can't think of anything but that when, you know, we think about cats.
That's exactly. I know. Everything, like... It's all entwined.
Yeah.
For those of you guys that don't know, Kristen's writing is really academic and really well-researched, but it reads like a cross between Jacqueline Suzanne and a really smart, beautiful lady professor in some, like, occult, like, classroom.
That is Jacqueline Suzanne. That is, like, the biggest honor I've ever. Valley of the Dolls is such a formative book when
Me
I
too.
Was so young. My dad was like, you don't want to read that trash that came out in my day or whatever. And I'm like, no, I want this so bad. It had, like, the pill cutouts in the front.
Yeah. I know. Oh my God. And then all of it, I love her whole style of writing. Like, he fished in his pocket for a cigarette.
So good.
Have you ever read The Love Machine?
No.
Oh my God. It's like Robin Stone. I mean, it's by Jacqueline Suzanne, but Robin Stone was The Love Machine. You got to read that one. Wait, if you loved Valley of the Dolls, you're going to love The Love Machine.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's all, Jacqueline Suzanne is definitely, like, a high priestess of fine literature.
I think I'm going to have to, like, quote you about comparing me to a lady academic meets Jacqueline Suzanne.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to put that on my website, like, the tagline.
In the Library of Alexandria.
Jacqueline Suzanne in the library. You've clearly created my
I have fantasies about you. Are you kidding?
This is incredible. This is the best day of my life.
Okay, so what's your favorite part of the book, or what was your favorite chapter?
The research was incredible, and finding all kinds of weird things from the medieval and early modern times were great, but kind of the most fun part was when I got a tarot reading for my cat, because my friend Sarah Potter does animal readings and is an animal psychic, and I'd never...
Oh, I have to talk to her.
She's incredible.
Okay.
And we actually teach a class called Cat Magic, where I do a lecture on the history of, like, witchcraft and cats and sexuality, and then she does a hands-on, like, she does different spreads with cats and talks about her experiences. So she came over to my house, and Cherie was a new kitten, and...
Wait, what sign is Cherie Puri?
Cherie is a Gemini.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a Capricorn. Capricorn.
A Capricorn.
And so
I'm Pisces, so I'm your food.
Oh, my mom's a Pisces. I love a Pisces. Yeah, you're right. So, she came over and she had two different readings. One was like a traditional, like with Rider-Waite deck, reading about our relationship for me. But she started with an oracle deck she used for Cherie. And this is the one she uses for cats mostly. And she was shuffling them and telling me the last reading she did was for a cat, and the cat had picked the possession card. And I was like, whoa, but no way is this little princess bitch going to pick that. You know, and we were laughing about it.
But well, is it because you possessed her?
Well, so this is what happened. After we said that, we shuffled the cards, we put them on the ground, I pushed them toward her, she came over, bit the corner of a card, and it was the possession card.
No!
Yes. And it wasn't like, okay, she smelled the cat's scent on it, because it also happened after like 10 shufflings to land right in front of her.
Yeah.
There's no...
No.
Yeah. We freaked out, and then we were like, no. And then my friend Sarah doing the reading was like, no, but it's not possession, like someone's possessing her or she's possessing you. It's that she likes possessions. She's a fancy little bitch that wants princess time, and she wants nice things, and she wants you to get a new bedspread, because my bedspread had like holes in it and shit. So that was incredible. I wrote about it in the book. I didn't write about the bedspread part in the book, because I was like,
yeah, because you didn't want to like diminish your public,
right? Exactly. But now you all know, whatever.
No, we're all spilling it.
So that I think was one of the best parts, and now I always like bring cards out and she'll roll around in them and all that. And I know that's normal for a lot of people, but I'd never really involved a cat. I hadn't. My readings before? I don't know why.
My kitty Carmen has done tarot readings. She always, all the cats jump on the tarot table when I'm doing readings, but I actually have a video that I posted on Instagram, and it always gets like hundreds and hundreds of views, because she's like, she walks across, like she spills the card, she walks across, she picks one up with her mouth, then puts it down and
taps
it.
Oh wait, I have seen that. It's incredible.
If I could get her to do that on command, I would be a millionaire now. I'd have a residency in Vegas.
I would pay a lot of money to see that in Vegas.
You know, she could have a fancy little evening gown.
Right? Oh, my God.
A little platform. Siegfried and Roy would go right out of business.
Totally.
Or Roy and Roy. Or I don't even know if they're still
I don't
there.
Think. I no, saw them not. Once back
I
in
did,
the
too.
It was
and
pretty great.
And also, one time I was on a lot of drugs. I'm just, like, staring at the tigers in the lobby
oh, right.
of the hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're
like, watching
gorgeous.
Them wash their faces and... like, you know, groom each other. That was just like watching a white tiger orgy.
It's incredible. Like, yeah, it's kind of a bummer they don't have it anymore, but it makes sense. And also, those tigers don't want to be there. They want to be somewhere else, I think.
Yeah. Like at my house.
Right?
Yeah. Like in my one-bedroom apartment.
Totally.
Okay, so also you've got a tarot deck called The Slut is Tarot. That
yes.
Sometimes when I put it up on Instagram, I worry that it's going to be quote against community standards, because this is really like, so, who is the artist that drew the cards?
So one of my favorite bestest friends, her name is Morgan Claire Serrain, and she is the mastermind behind the deck. And she wanted to make a deck that centered sex workers and femmes. And instead of the fool's journey, she wanted to make it the maiden's journey.
Yeah.
So that's basically...
And trans people. And things
exactly.
like the six of pentacles, like a girl with someone's fingers in her mouth behind her. And
totally.
And like, there's lots of... this is a very sex positive and all-inclusive deck. And... all sluttist all the time.
Yes.
In every way. Yeah, I know. Wait, I look like the Princess of Cups, I think it is. Okay. It looks exactly like me, so I'm just pretending it was painted for me.
Let's see. Where is she? I'm just looking.
Kristen is shuffling the cards.
They're not shuffled yet, but
yeah, they're all. Yeah. No, it's not the princess. Maybe it's a princess. It's not the princess of wands. I can't remember. I'll find it when it comes out of there.
Yeah.
It's someone with a crown on with black hair and bangs.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, I love the devil card.
Oh, you know that was supposed to be Alice Bag.
I thought so. The crown is Alice Bag from the back. It looks exactly like her.
Yeah.
I wish that we had visuals going along with this, but you guys can probably see images of the deck online.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I sell them, so.
Yeah, she sells tarot cards. No, they're really good. They're really easy to read with. So we're going to give each other a reading in a second. While you're shuffling those cards, I'm going to ask you a couple of other questions. Like, you are a culture maven.
Ooh. I suppose so.
As opposed to just culture. We're a culture club here. As in a cult.
Why isn't that a band yet? A culture
club. Yeah, you can
club.
Start a band. Tell me about your favorite bands.
Oh, my God. So many of my favorite bands are, like, L.A. bands.
Really?
Because when I was, like, a little girl, I had older brothers, and they were always watching, like, Headbangers Ball. And that is my thing.
Oh, when you wished you could go to Cat House?
Yes.
Like, that was a really famous L.A. 80s, like, rock and roll hair metal club.
I have multiple Cat House shirts because I'm a nerd. And every time I've been coming to L.A. for years and years, and I always go to the Rainbow and pay my respects.
Oh, yeah, you're going there tonight.
I am. So, I mean, I love Motley Crue. I love Whitesnake and Poison. I mean, Whitesnake's not an L.A. band, technically.
My band, the Screaming Sirens, we used to do a lot of dates with Poison because we were on the same label.
Oh, my God.
Cue up. Look what the cat jogged in.
Hell yes.
Which was pretty much anybody in LA in the 80s.
Yeah.
You could either be the thing that the cat dragged in, or you could be the cat waiting to see what happened to, like, skid across your doorstep.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, but then I also, God, I like so many things, but I'm also a big, like, late 70s, early 80s goth, like, UK, like, post-punk, like, goth scene person. So that, I mean, I love the Sisters of Mercy. I love the Bolshoi and March Violets and
all of that is good.
Yeah, I love that stuff. God, what else?
What's new, Pussycat?
I love. What? Can we talk about Tom Jones? Because I
fucking
love Tom Jones so much. My mom took me to see him when I was like 9 or something, and I fell in love with Tom Jones, and I've seen him so many times.
Really?
I still, whenever he comes, he still got it. Like, I saw him in Vegas once, and speaking of ZZ Top were sitting in a front table watching Tom Jones. Yes.
Wow.
It was all of them in a row just watching Tom Jones. That was great. All these women were, like, going up and, like, leaving their hotel room keys.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, for Tom Jones?
For Tom Jones.
Were they throwing panties?
Yes. And that was the only time I really saw that. And actually, the last time
Did you throw any?
I didn't. I was
What the hell is wrong with you?
I was with my mom. I was...
Oh, that's right. You were a kid. I'm sorry. I thought if it was you now, you would wear multiple pairs and just keep talking.
Wait, what funny thing. I saw him at the Beacon Theater in New York, and a woman threw something on stage and was escorted out. Like, out of the concert.
What was it?
It was underwear.
She was escorted out
because she tried to...
That's not, like, in his rider, allow women to throw their lingerie.
It was so sad. I was like, it's the end of an era. It's truly over. But anyway, I love Tom Jones so much.
Me too. My name was Pussycat when I was little. My nickname. I mean, that my adorable father called me that. That might sound, like, really wrong, but...
It's cute.
But I thought that song was written about me. I was an egomaniac. I also thought that like every street in town that had Pleasant in it was about me. And my birthday was on St. Patrick's Day. So I thought the whole parade was because it was my birthday.
Oh my God.
In New York. Yeah, I had a lot of ego. But Tom Jones has always been so cool. You know, okay, so Miss Pamela of the GTOs that has a podcast also on Pantheon, in her book, Let's Spend the Night Together, Backstage Secrets of Rock and Roll Super Groupies, in which I have my own chapter. But Elvira, Cassandra Peterson, like I thought my chapter was bad with stuff about Iggy Pop and other like really slutty things in there. But like hers is when she... Cassandra Peterson's is when she was a chorus girl in Vegas when she was like 17.
Wasn't Elvis?
No, it was Tom Jones.
Oh, Tom Jones.
She lost her virginity to Tom Jones and then she started like hemorrhaging and then and then he just dropped her off at the emergency room.
Wait, what? I have to read that. I don't know why I haven't read that chapter. Holy.
I know. Shout out to Miss Pamela.
Oh my God.
No, I know. I mean, like.
That's so dark. He's such a. Cad.
He's totally a cad. Tara Satana was the one that like supposed that like you know did Elvis.
Oh, okay.
From
okay.
Faster Pussycat. Yeah. Kill Kill. But supposedly she taught her burlesque gyrations to Elvis.
Really?
Yeah, because I think she got him when they were both hot and he was early
young.
Into his career.
Wow. Yeah. Huh.
I will love any trailer trash that wears green eyeshadow. I gotta say.
Oh, hell,
shaking their ass on stage. Okay, that was a sideline. What else? So are we ready to do a little reading for each other now?
Yeah, but I'm nervous to give you a reading because I don't do professional reading.
It doesn't have to be a bit. Well, yeah, but it's your deck.
I know.
Okay, what do I need to know? What should I know about? Yeah, just tell me what I need to know. So she's spreading.
How do we want to do it? Do you want to just pick from here or from my hands?
Yeah, I'll pick it. Like we'll do it Siegfried and Roy style since we're on the feline binge. Okay, there's one.
Ooh.
Two. Oh. Ooh, that's a good one. Ooh. Except that's the card is good, but maybe not the message, not that good.
I feel like
wait, I got all wands.
Yeah,
and you shuffled it really good.
No, I did.
I'm really wandy.
Wow.
Wands are fire and they're also creativity. And they're also sex and sensuality.
Yeah, this is a slutty ass like trifecta of cards here.
I got
here.
The four of wands, the three of wands, and the ten of wands. So that makes, that adds up to 17.
Ooh,
and so that's my, I was born on the 17th.
Number.
And it adds up also to 8. And that's my birth, my life path. Yes.
That's incredible. But not when people are with you. That just happens. Whoa.
All right.
All right.
So four of wands. Are you gonna talk about this or should
I? I mean, you're the master, the mistress.
I know, because it's really hard for me to read for myself. But four of wands. In this card, it's a multiracial pair of cute lesbians
touching their titties.
And that's four of wands. And three of wands is two beautiful girls holding their
Kitties. Which is like so perfect. I mean, there's like
it
a
just
lot of,
happened to come up
like
through.
Connectivity that's sensual and like platonic in this.
Yeah. And then I got ten of wands, and it's a girl who's got someone's finger in her mouth and she's biting it, and it's hard to tell who's in control.
And she's wearing a collar with a chain attached to it.
Yeah, that looks just like the necklace I was wearing. A leash, let's say. A collar with a chain attached to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's called a leash. Anyway, so you don't know, I've got a lot of good friends. There's a lot of, I'm clearly domesticated with that four of wands, and I might bite if you stick your hand mm-hmm. near me, but you're going to love every second of it. That's really what it means, but that's what I'm telling you guys.
I think that's perfect.
Okay.
I mean, some of my favorite readings are just like literally reading the imagery
here,
on
put
cards.
This back. I know, me too. Here, put these back and then I'm going to shuffle
it. All right.
You guys, we're doing this topless. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm
because
bottomless.
It's taking us because it's taking so long to shuffle the cards. I had to give you some kind of a visual. Do you hear that? I'm shuffling these cards. They're pink. They're cute. Wait, here you cut that deck.
Okay,
cut it good. Okay, it's just a 3-card spread. Seven of swords.
Ooh.
The fool, the maiden, as you were talking about, and six of cups.
Ooh.
Okay, so Seven of Swords, if you get it about somebody else in a reading, that's like a really like shifty card. That's like an alley cat as opposed to a lap cat.
Right.
But since it's for you here, it means you're going to use all your swordy intellect to get to where you want to be. Just like a cat, you're going to rub up against somebody's legs and then the next thing you know, they're feeding you.
Oh.
But in your case, it's not going to be fancy feast. It's going to be dollars or,
yes,
or some kind of position you want to get to. The Fool or the Maiden is a whole new journey starting off for you. And then Six of Cups is really having a really good playful affinity with people you know now. And sometimes it's about nostalgia for the past. But, okay, so speaking of getting money thrown at you, Kristen's probably like the only author that has done a book tour at strip clubs.
Yeah, very proud of it.
And just like the one in LA, was it Cheetahs, which just goes right along. And you were with Jack, J-A-Q, the stripper. Isn't that the best name, Jack the stripper?
She's
this beautiful
amazing.
Blonde. And she makes the best memes ever.
She does. Her art is incredible. And yeah, we went on tour for my first book. And then it was so great. I've never had the experience of doing a reading and having people throw money at you. Because she encourages every event to really like be like a strip club. Sometimes we have done them in strip clubs. And sometimes it's just a regular space. But she encourages people to throw dollars.
To like a strip club.
Yeah. To like affirm your act and your talent, whatever, whoever it is. Because we have multiple people in our shows. So yeah, we just did a show at Cheetahs in October. And it was like $103 in singles in my short, like, 4-minute reading. It was the most magical. I mean, it's always magical, but that one, particularly at Cheetahs, and I know now they're revamping it, and all the great women who used to work there haven't been rehired, and, like, it's all changing
at
over
Cheetahs?
There.
At Cheetahs?
Yeah.
Wait, do you know that Cheetahs, not to change the subject, but Cheetahs used to be a rock and roll bar from the 30s.
Really?
I mean, it wasn't rock and roll, but it was called the Shamrock. I was a bartender there.
Whoa.
And they used to have bands there. Like,
no
Ollie's
way.
Like, oh, yes way. Oh. And there used to be apartments upstairs. I don't know if those are still up there, but that was like that was a very well-known Hollywood den of iniquity.
Whoa. So it clearly has years and years of that energy.
Of mayhem.
Yeah.
Of tipping, of like dancing on the bar, of stripping,
amazing.
Of bands playing. Oh. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know it's all changing now, but I luckily got in right before they...
Wait, what are they doing to
I mean,
it now?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know they totally are like revamping it and changing the layout, and I like a lot of original dancers were not hired.
That's too
back,
bad. Some of the original dancers were so great.
Oh yeah.
The pole work
yeah.
was insane.
Yeah.
This is like, if you guys out there don't know about Hollywood striptease history, Jumbo's Clown Room and Cheetahs are the strip clubs to go because they're the most rock and rolly. They're the most wild. Like, Lemmy used to like practically live at Jumbo's Clown Room.
I love Jumbo so. I have seen the most incredible acrobatics and acts to my favorite music like ever there.
Yeah, a lot of those girls are in Bell Book and Candle, my witch burlesque show.
It makes perfect sense.
But Cheetahs came along a little bit later. That was sort of in the whole hair metal like Poison type thing.
Right.
But did you do other strip clubs?
We did an event at the Condor in San Francisco.
Oh my God, the Condor Club. This is where Carol Doda used to come on this. Carol Doda was, I think, the first woman to have breast implants. And they were the Navy could have used them for torpedoes. And she was a really hot blonde that looked like she would have been in Valley of the Dolls. And she used to come up, like there was this rising platform on hydraulics where she would just come up on the stage and she would be, wait, you just have to visualize. I'm sitting here in a chair and I started doing the frug.
You can hear the bangles.
Yeah. This is what it sounded like. She was doing the frug with her big blonde, long flowing, like sort of charo, sort of Dolly Parton sort
amazing.
Of hair. Yeah, she was famous in North Beach. For all you people that are only Instagram influencers, you should look up Carol Doda, D-O-D-A. You won't be sorry.
Yeah, I learned about it from my dad.
Now your dad is taking you to concerts and telling you about Carol Doda. No wonder you turned out the way you did.
He took me to see Boogie Nights, like, when it came out.
Oh my God.
I was in, like, seventh grade or something.
That's so good. I know, I always watched age-inappropriate films, too.
Yeah, he took me to see Poltergeist when I was, like, 4 or 3 or whenever it came out. I remember that too. I had
nightmares. Wait, how old are you?
37 almost.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. I'm 61 almost. No.
I can't believe, I hope I look as good as you when I'm your age because, oh my God. You look incredible. It's not all about looks in this world. You're also a fucking amazing person. But...
Wait, what? I didn't hear you. No. No, but I just wanted to know how old you were.
Oh,
I'm trying to figure out
the timeline.
The timeline. So you saw that right when it first came out? How old were you again, you said?
So whenever Poltergeist came out, I was like, unless they got it on a Betamax or something. Oh, yeah. It was probably 85 or 6 or something. He took me to see that.
Well, I actually saw that in the theater on Hollywood Boulevard with like Tex from Tex and the Horseheads.
Amazing.
And I think Jeffrey Lee Pierce and like a bunch of people from like those movie theaters on Hollywood used to be so cheap and in the afternoons. And there was bars like all on there. The Frolic Room is right near
the
there.
Frolic
Room. So we would drink according to like whatever the movie was playing. Right. You know what I mean? And then at Barfly, like the bartender at the Frolic Room, Dan, who no longer works there, gave us like to-go cups to bring into Barfly.
That's so awesome.
Okay, so what else do I want to talk to you about? Let's talk about some, let's talk about how you really started doing witchcraft.
And
how you think that music really intersects into it.
For sure. I feel like I started doing... Well, my mom is a witch, but she doesn't use that word. She always used intuitive, but not like the kind of witch that was into sex magic and stuff. More like that was not
like
her...
an Anton LaVey acolyte.
Right. She was like a different
not
vibe.
Not like Jane Mansfield and Anton LaVey.
No, which would be amazing, but no, that was not her vibe, but very like teaching me about, you know, manifestation, meditation and all kinds of things when I was very young. So that was really cool to have that, but I didn't consider that witchcraft because that word wasn't used, you know.
Yeah.
I just thought it's stuff mom does, and she would always say, oh, next week I get a feeling you're gonna meet this person or this will happen to you, and it always happened. So I was growing up with that kind of thing, but my dad's like a mega atheist, so there was that like side to it. He was, you know, doesn't believe any of that was like real. My parents are not married. That didn't like work out. But I think with the rock and roll and magic, I started doing sex magic to songs in ways that I didn't really realize until now.
When, like, how old were you?
Like, 12, 13. A lot of it was solo sex magic in the early years, but I would just have certain songs.
or Soleil sex magic.
So there were certain songs that I just felt so much power in that I always had to, like, jerk off to them. And so I started doing that, and then
what songs? Wait, I want to know, like,
and a lot of it is super cheesy, but
that's okay. Say it.
A lot of like 80s hair metal stuff, like I put Piece of Your Action by Motley Crue.
I want you, I need you, I want you to be my tonight. You need me, don't tease me.
Like, and or like God of Thunder by Kiss.
Yes.
But just
thunder.
Like
God of
But there would just be certain songs, or like I'm trying to think of what other ones. But they just would feel like I had to get inside the song, and the only way I could think of like channeling that energy was to just jerk off.
So yeah,
that's how when I was younger, that's how I did it. And then I started thinking about things when I would do this process, and then more and more I realized, oh, I kind of made up my own sex magic practice without knowing it. And so that I think is. So I've always connected like witchcraft, sex magic, even to this day. If I want to really get into my spell work, it's like put on my Motley Crue, carve my candle, get my oils, and just have a nice night to myself. Because I mean, I like sex magic with other people, but it's like much more complicated. There's other, you know what
I mean?
Yeah,
there's all sorts of
stuff involved with other human beings. I mean, that's great, but I just prefer like just having sex with people, not necessarily making it magical or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Anyway, yeah.
Or like keeping the magic to yourself because you might scare them by mentioning.
No. I mean that, yeah. And then there's a whole issue of like consent. Should I just like use this person's body for my own spell work? Maybe. Probably not. Probably not if we want to be ethical.
Yeah. But I mean, okay, so have you ever done sex magic on another person, like love spells or sex spells? Or...
Well, we were kind of just talking about this earlier, but I had this...
Wait, with who? You were cheating on me? No.
No, you, with you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were having a discussion before.
No, I've spoken to no one else, and I will not speak to anyone else today but you.
Thank you. Thank you, babe.
But I had this Jezebel oil that a friend made, and I was about to do an event, and I also had this sort of like glamour casting oil that
Let's explain glamour to the general public.
So
a glamour, like if you've ever seen True Blood or any vampire film, when the vampires say they're putting a glamour on you, glamour magic is really sort of a shape-shifting magic. You cast
Right.
You cast a glamour over them so they see you as more than you are.
Exactly.
Is that how
yes.
you...
Yes. So that's when I use glamour oils for when I do talks or events because I want people to see what I want to create for them.
And
you know
always
what I mean?
Wear a lot of pink. That's a form of glamour.
Exactly.
Magic too. Exactly. Because
right.
tell them. Tell our audience what pink stands for.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not in the Larry Flint way, but yes, also that.
Well, yeah, I think it's like pink parts, and also it's a softer kind of erotic color in the, you know, color magic world.
It's
know?
Also very
it's femininity,
Venus energy.
Venus, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I've never been a red person, always a pink person.
I've been a red person sometimes, like with belly dance costumes.
Oh,
with some of my dance costumes, because it's like a red car that gets pulled over immediately. Like, you would get tipped immediately in a red costume.
And I'm starting to realize that I should harness the red as well.
Yeah, you should.
Because it's really powerful. So I need to just, like, also use both. But I've always been a hot pink person that's always spoken to me as, like, power color, you know? What the hell was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Glamour oil. So I had these two oils, and I accidentally, it was dark, I picked up the wrong oil.
But wait, tell them why you used the glamour oil.
Oh, why I use it?
Yeah.
I had an event, and I was talking about my book and doing a reading, so I wanted to, you know, show the audience what I intended to show them and, like, you know, show myself in the best possible light and sort of, like, put like diamonds in their eyes when
yes,
they
exactly.
looked at me.
Yeah.
So I usually put that on and it makes my events go well. And even if you don't believe in witchcraft, then fine. It's placebo magic. And like, I just feel stronger because I put it on. Whatever you think, it's fine. But I accidentally put on the Jezebel oil, which is a sexual attraction oil. And a lot of sex workers use it to get clients. And so I, you know, put that on, didn't know the difference, did my event. It was fine. I didn't really notice that it was like bad or anything. But afterwards, I sort of ran into someone and ended up definitely fucking them in the bathroom and did not really understand how that came about. It was so overpowering. It's like my night took a turn that I never planned. It's like otherworldly things were happening. It was a person I never thought of that way at all. So then I went home and I kind of was just like thinking about the oils and I looked and I had totally put the wrong oil on. So ever since then, it was quite a while ago, but I'm like, be careful. It's you know, I hadn't really used oils that much. And then when I started to, I was like, oh, shit.
No, oils really work so hard.
Yeah.
I had come to me oil from Pan's Apotheca and I was making a candle with it. And I spilled it all over my arm because it was so slippery on the outside of it. You know, on the outside of the oil. I spilled it all over my arm and then... This is like in the digital age, folks. Like then suddenly there was like four guys on my Instagram DMs that like were literally, it wasn't like any dick pics. It wasn't anything horrible, but there was just all these guys that like once in a while would comment on my things. Like, oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, do you live in LA? Like, what do you like to do? Do you want to go out? And I was just looking at it and I was like, holy shit. This was like in minutes because I check Instagram like a nut.
Right.
So then I called Vicky at Panpipes. And I was telling her that, and then she just texted back, but wait, doesn't this happen to you all the time? And I was like, no.
Like, I'm surprised it doesn't happen all the time, but.
Well, you know, also I never get dick pics, and everyone I know gets dick pics, and it's not like I really want one, but then I got, you go through that like little thing. I was like, how come I never get dick pics? Because all people send me is like horrifying, hellish, like, memes that look like a Hallmark card with like a red velvety Valentine looking thing with like a little teddy bear on it and hearts. And I was like, really? This is what I'm presenting
to you? What the hell?
No, I know.
That is not your vibe to me.
And then I was complaining about it and all these other girls were like, don't you ever look in the messages of people you don't know? And I was like, yeah, but you know, on Instagram, sometimes it's blurred out.
Yeah,
and Facebook,
yeah, yeah.
I look at it and it's just more of those Hallmark things.
Weird.
I don't know. I think they think I'm a dominatrix or something.
Or you'll like hex the hell out of them if you.
Yeah, that's you true. If you send me anything more than a teddy bear, I'm damning you to hell.
That's amazing. Oh, and I also plug, my friend has this incredible company, Shock Rubs, the crystal sex toys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I use those all the time, like the obsidian one.
Wait,
is,
you do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have the amethyst one is great. I use the obsidian one
Wait,
a lot.
Wait, they're dildos, right? Crystal
yeah.
dildos?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. And they're smooth carved, just in case.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never used one of those. But, like, you know what? I have to say that I've been kind of snobby about, I mean, not snobby, but, like, every so often I'll see, like, a blonde lady driving in kind of, like, a new sort of beigey car. And then, I when they're stuck in traffic, and then she'll do some stupid remover, and I'll be like, I'm sure she uses, like, a rose quartz dildo.
I don't use the rose quartz. I only use the amethyst and the obsidian. So... There we go. No, I think I have a rose quartz too, but the obsidian one is really like everything I really want to like change and shift and repel. Like that is always.
I should use a black tourmaline one. For those of you in the audience, black tourmaline gets rid of negative energy.
Yeah. Well, so does black obsidian too.
Do they make black tourmaline dildos?
I think she, I don't know. She might. I mean,
I know she can't make black kyanite. That's really my favorite thing, but it would leave little chips in your lady parts. They also make Teflon frying pans out of that. Did you know?
No, I did not.
Isn't that insane? Hmm. So you could be, if in case there was like a black tourmaline, I mean a black guy in a dildo, you could be like a lady in the kitchen and a whore in the bedrooms.
Which is, you know, how everyone should be, right? I suck at the kitchen though, so.
I'm really good at the kitchen. That's Ooh. How I lure them in.
Kitchen
no, I'm just
witch.
Kidding. Yeah. We were talking about sex toys, then what?
Sex magic, witchcraft. Yeah. And then, so basically my witchcraft story, I was doing all that without really knowing. And I had some friends who were Wiccan in high school, but Wiccan practices never vibed with me. I
me
was like,
neither.
That's not my vibe. The
no,
aesthetic.
Not me.
And this is like the 90s. So that was a very,
that was huge.
It was
then.
Very crunchy. And I don't know. It wasn't my vibe. I was like rock and roll. That's my vibe.
Yeah.
You know,
like fucking pentagram magic.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like
nowadays.
Spooky and
it's
scary
everywhere.
And dark.
Yes.
I know.
But yeah, so I was like, oh, I guess I'm not really a witch, but I'm into this. And then when I moved to New York, I met my friend who was a voodoo practitioner from New Orleans, and she took me to my first like witch shop that I had. And then I started doing really dumb love spells. And oh my God.
I was just going to ask you about love spells. Let's talk about love spells in case anyone wants to try it that's hearing this. The first thing is, really think twice.
I literally did one, a love draw spell that I repeated this person's name and did all these things because there was a little kit, you know, they sold
yeah.
or whatever. And I fucked this person a lot and I never dated them, but they came back into my life in many ways that almost were like, it was like obsessive and weird.
Yeah.
And it still, you know, some days I'm like, oh, maybe it's over. No, then it'll just pop back up. Like, don't fuck with other people's, like, you know, energies in love magic. I think it's just like,
oh yeah,
never gonna be good.
It's a minefield.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure sometimes people make it work. I never made it work. I don't do any magic with relationship stuff like that anymore or whatever.
Sometimes I'll do communication ones.
Oh,
sometimes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. That's
yeah,
good...
yeah. You know, or have them think of you, but not about like not
oh yeah.
Not other stuff. Like if you bind someone to you,
ooh.
Forget it. That's like
no.
you've got a stalker for life and into the next like four lives if you believe in reincarnation.
Yeah. No thanks. So yeah, love magic? No. Don't do it.
Attraction magic, yes, love magic. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you can take over, or anybody could take over from that part. Okay, so what do you think about, like, right now how witchiness is so popular? I know it's been through cycles of it, but, like, yes, no, what are your thoughts?
I mean, for me, obviously, it's...
Well, yeah, it's great for us.
It's selling my books.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah, yeah.
awesome. And it awakened a lot of things in me that were very private, like things I didn't talk about, you know, for years. And now everybody talks about that stuff and it's so normal and you're not crazy or weird. You know?
Yeah.
So that's cool. Obviously, part of it, sometimes there's some practices that are defanged. And even in interviews, sometimes I just like say really basic things because there's some things that are like the occult means like secret. You know, there's things that are not for everyone to know. So in that sense, sometimes I just say the party line like, no hexing, blah, 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 you know. But like we really know that if you're doing magic, like there's all kinds of things. It's not all like love and light and shit, you know?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't know that.
Right.
I think there's a lot of misinformation on the internet,
so
too.
Much, yeah.
And that kind of scares.
Yeah, it can be dangerous.
Like, I was going to say, who knows what the hell's going on
right
there? It's like the Sorcerer's Apprentice, literally.
Yeah, yeah, because there's anyone can put up information and, you know, spread it around. So, and that's good in some ways because it's egalitarian spread of information, and bad because there can be a lot of misinformation. But I teach a lot of students who are new to witchcraft, and I don't teach them witchcraft. I teach them, you know, the history of the witch archetype and its ties to feminism and sexuality. And then I throw in a few like guest speakers who come in and do a little, like we make sigils and like a little toe in the water, but they all are like really excited to practice, you know, or like doing spell work for, with the moon, maybe little simple things or whatever. But everyone, it seems like it's such an empowering thing, especially the world is burning and on fire. It's always been bad, but, you know, it's really bad right now.
I think it's so worse than it's ever been.
Okay, so
and I mean, I grew up watching the Vietnam War on TV at dinner every night, and this, I've never seen anything
like this.
Okay,
so you think, then I agree, it's horrible, and I feel like
it's like every day the news comes out, and you feel like it's the Weekly World News, like it's like Bat Boys.
Yeah.
I mean or something like of people like yelling and screaming at each other and insulting each other and making fun of like physical or like intellectual, shortcomings.
It's terrible. Like, yeah. So in that sense, I think it's great that witchcraft is popular because it allows you to take control of your life and yourself. And I mean, and there's like community that it brings together, unlike all the other patriarchal religions, which are just can be so damaging and horrible.
Yeah.
And patriarchal, whatever.
But I mean, I don't know. I always thought the Catholic Church was just like pure magic.
I mean, there's some witchy shit going down.
No kidding. I know. Even when I was little, like just the statues alone, it's like scarier than like anything you would see in a cheesy 70s witchsploitation movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like all the bleeding and the rolled up eyes in pain. It's like pure BDSM.
Oh, yeah. Catholic Church is so fucking kinky. Like,
I know. I used to wish I was like raised Catholic during like 70s punk rock because all the most crazy, like sex-crazed people I knew were all like recovering Catholic.
My mom was raised Catholic. My dad was raised Catholic, and it both impacted them in many ways. And
wow.
I learned a lot of fascinating.
Maybe I'll go to mass soon.
I mean, there's actually this like exorcism conference that they're having at the Vatican now every year, and they allow.
When is the next one?
I don't know, but I really want to
go.
But I went online to try to see if I could go, and they're like, you have to have a priest like sign off. But
we could get that.
But wait, guess what? My cousin is a priest, an ordained priest, but I haven't spoken to him, like maybe met him once, but I'm like, I wonder if I just write.
Well, no, I think you should, find out when the conference is first, you know, and then start, like, just send him a message now, because it's like, you know.
He'll totally Google me and be clearly.
No, just keep, like, say that, you know, that was all just a show I was doing.
Right. I really
want to. I can help you with.
I want to accept the Lord and Savior
Jesus
Christ.
I was just promoting my book.
To me.
I just had to promote a book, and this was a good angle.
Right? I'm really a devout Catholic.
Margaret Cho used to do a really good, she used to do a really good part of her show about Catholics. I think this was right when the sex scandals first came up. And, you know, when it was coming out about a lot of, like, queer priests and stuff. And she would go into this, like, sort of voice. She goes, what do you mean you're not gay? Sitting up there in the Vatican, surrounded by antique furniture, wearing a big hat.
Oh my God. Yeah, the Catholic Church, that is quite a can of worms. I'm working on a new book that kind of involves a lot of research into
the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. And it's been super fun. I can talk about it.
Yeah,
it's a travel book to witchy sites in Europe and America. that are tied to the witch hunts as well.
So
there's like history, and then there's also like how can we how have these sites been reclaimed, and you know. So I have a guide to the Vatican, like a pagan's guide to going to the Vatican, and like all the secretly witchy shit that's everywhere. You know what I mean? Like there's zodiac stuff. There's like all kinds of, you know. There's like what else?
Wait,
there's all kinds of Greek and Roman. You
we
know,
should
pagan.
Queue up "Liar" by Queen right now.
Fuck yeah.
Try and help me, Father. Won't you let me in?
Liar!
Nobody believes me.
Liar!
Oh, I don't believe you. Liar, I have stolen. Stolen many times. Raise my voice in anger.
But I know there's all that stuff. And then, wait, I think Notre Dame, I might be getting this wrong. I think Notre Dame was built on the site of a pagan.
Oh, it was. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So all of those, like, most famous churches in Europe were often built on the site of pagan, you know.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
Grounds.
And all the ley lines.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so, so fascinating. So, yeah, my next book is a tour guide to all that.
What are you calling it?
It's actually pretty simple. It's called Witch Hunt.
Oh, that's
a traveler's guide to the power and persecution of the witch.
Oh my God, when is this going to be out?
It's coming out next October. October 2020. We're going to do a new tour and be going around showing my, like, it's going to be like what
showing your panties.
Yeah.
Wearing a choir boy outfit.
Yes, I'm going to be dressed like a priest, a slutty priest.
Or the high priestess.
Maybe a nun.
Oh yeah, a nun. There's a lot of, you could do that. You could do this
so
in strip
many
clubs
slutty
too.
Nun, yeah, outfits.
Sister Bertrill.
Yeah.
The flying nun. None of you guys that are listening know this, right? Unless you're my age.
I know the Flying Nun.
I know. I guess that's a good, yeah.
It's kind of like a
fantasy
pop culture vibe, but yeah. So the Catholic Church. So yeah, I'm digging into a lot of the pagan. I'm reading all about how, well, obviously astrology comes from ancient Mesopotamia and, you know, went through all that, but how in the like early first millennium, it was Christianized, and I never knew that.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I had no idea that. Like,
they stole everything.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to see what like each sign was associated with, like in the Jesus story or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I need
it's
to...
all going to be in my book. So I'm doing all that research into.
I have to write a blurb for you.
Oh, that would be an honor. So great, now we got that settled.
And she's sitting here wearing, wait, what does your shirt say?
Oh, stay home, be a witch.
And she's wearing leopard pants.
I mean, yeah.
Like, thinking of who's going to make, like, the choir boy outfit she's going to wear.
Looking off into the sunset. Well, not yet, but soon.
looking off up at the steeple. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. So what do you think about, what's your favorite, like, current band? Do you have any?
Yeah, so there's one on my playlist I love listening to. They might have just broken up, but they're still very, very current, called Person, P-U-R-S-O-N, named after the Goetic demon.
Oh, not because of purr.
No, but that's pretty great. But they're sort of like a revival of 60s psychedelic occult rock, and I really dig them. So
that sounds good.
Yeah,
that sounds
really awesome,
really,
and I've seen them live. Lead singer, they're British, of course, and
yeah.
She's amazing. Has great outfits. I love that song. So fucking good. But the other band I really want to talk about is Twin Temple, another LA band.
Oh my God, I love them. I love Twin Temple. I keep missing them live, but they have the best look. They have the best songs. What's your favorite song of theirs?
I'm Wicked.
Oh, that's mine too. Yes. That's totally mine.
I love reading under the full moon. I draw power from my womb. I don't want babies. I make love on my enemies too. Take a good look, 'cause I write the book.
The devil is a woman.
Sex magic.
Yeah.
And they're
I'm
so
gonna hex you.
Yes, they're so lovely. As people actually sell Witches Sluts Feminists in their store, signed copies, which is awesome. They're such great supporters, and
they look like old 60s Anton LaVey Church of Satan, like the best, like vintage, like rock and roll occult possible. And her
suits.
Voice. Oh my God, her
she's
voice.
Incredible singer. Oh my! Every time I see her, I'm just like.
Twin Temple, you guys. Twin Temple. If you don't know about this band, it's satanic doo-wop. That's how they bill themselves. They're all over Instagram. They're all over Twitter. They are hot as hell.
Yes.
Now I don't know if we should play Hotter Than Hell by Kiss.
No, I know.
Should we tell anyone a little spell to do or no?
Like a kitty spell?
Yeah, whatever you want. You can tell them a kitty spell. Or let's talk about one more manifestation spell. I think just if your intent, if you think something's going to happen, it will really happen. Think about it right before you go to sleep. That's my favorite time to do it. Repeat it over and over. Say it out loud.
Yeah, write it down and jerk off looking at it.
Yeah, if it's someone you want, jerk off thinking about it.
Yep. Just jerk off all the time.
Twin Temple and Kiss would both agree.
Bye. I agree. Yeah. Hell yeah.
One, two, three. We are throwing horns. Hell yeah! It's the devil's music with Pleasant Gaiman. Mwah!
And ice cold flames, crying soft as the flies tame. Swollen tears of diaries of lies, fading lights as sunset quiet.
Wow, wasn't that great? See, I knew you'd fall in love with Kristen Soleil, just like I did. Anyway, I'd love to thank you all for listening to Pantheon Podcasts, and we will see you next time here in hell in the VIP room at The Devil's Music. Yeah.
The Devil's Music is written and hosted by Pleasant Gaiman. Produced by Aaron Alden. All sound design by Jerry Danielson of Busy Signal Studios. And of course, is part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at pantheonpodcasts.com. Our social presence is at Pantheon Podcasts on Facebook and Instagram. Tweet us at Pantheon Pods. All songs can be found wherever you get great music. Please pick up these important and fantastic tracks. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.